Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Our God is worthy to be praised. We worship the name of the Lord, our God Almighty. We bless His holy name. We exalt His holy name. We worship You, Lord. We praise You. We glorify Your name. Blessed be Your holy name forever and ever. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for another day that You have blessed us with. Lord, we thank You so much for all that You have done for us, Lord, in our lives, through our lives. Thank You, Lord, for everyone that You've placed, Lord, in our paths. Thank You, Lord. We exalt Your holy name. And Lord, as we go forth, Lord, today, in the Word, in the Bible study, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit open up the minds and the understanding of everyone, Lord, who is both here right now and everyone, Lord, that's watching this right now. I pray, Lord, that You will receive all the honor and all the glory and all of the praise. Blessed be Your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome. It is a privilege and a pleasure to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. It is an honor for me to share the word for all of you also watching online. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. And we are going to have a good time in the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like for you to, if in case you brought your Bibles with you, if not, that's okay. We're going to put up the scripture on the board in just a moment. To open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5. Now, we all know Hebrews 11 as the faith chapter, right? The Apostle Paul speaks about the great men of faith, men who were known, were accredited to have strong faith in God, and almost just about any circumstance, in any situation. And they are known as the great men of faith in the Word of God. But I want to zero in on one particular verse, which is found in verses 5. So we're going to be reading Hebrews 11, 5, and I'm ready for that. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that Enoch, or he, pleased God. Amen? Amen. The fact that the Apostle Paul right now, in this very moment, states that Enoch walked with God suggests one thing very, very plainly. And that thing is a relationship. I would even go as far as beyond a friendship. Right now, we're just about talking about a bond that had been established between the man Enoch and God. Now, Enoch had thus already experienced what Abel's example taught or even teaches of someone walking with God, someone who loves God, someone who has a relationship with God. Enoch's example, brothers and sisters, takes us to the next logical step in a faithful person's movement toward glorification. The closer we walk with the Lord. And you can see this throughout history. People who are, let's just say, famous, who are well known, you know, in the United States or worldwide, or even someone that you might know in your local area, in your local church, someone who has a strong walk with God, it seems as though they're the ones that are moving from glory to glory. There's always something great happening in their life. There's always a tremendous testimony. There was always something extravagant because they have that relationship and that bond with the Lord. And now in his arrangement of examples of faith, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing, and not necessarily in a chronological manner, but in an experiential order, and that is faith as experienced in practical life. Did you know that faith is a part of our life, our every single day, our life, day in and day out? In a true life of faith, walking with God follows justification. And this is what I want to talk about this morning, is a godly walk. That is the title for this morning's service. A godly walk. How many of us wish to have a godly walk? I would love to have a strong godly walk. To walk with the Lord like how Enoch walked with the Lord, how Noah walked with the Lord, how Moses walked with the Lord. Even the Apostle Paul, how he walked with God. I wish to have that. I strive for that every single day. Lord, what do you got for me today? What's on the agenda? What are we doing today, Lord? How are you going to wow me today? This is a bond. This is a relationship that I have with my God. And I am sure that all of us have the same attitude, the same approach. Now, the term walk and walking are the Bible's most frequent used metaphor for two related concepts, two related ideas. Now, depending on the translation that you read, a lot of people like to stick with the Passion Translation, the ESV. Some people like to stick with the King James. There's nothing wrong with that. Depending on the translation that you prefer, the word walk and walking, they appear almost 300 times, indicating direct interaction one with another, with someone else, and making progress towards a certain destination, whether it's a physical destination or whether it's metaphorically here speaking. Somewhat related, but used in a lesser context. Walk or walking indicates the passage of time as a person continues in a chosen direction of life and also a lifestyle. I want to give you an example of this. When it's used as life in itself, walk in a certain way, or someone choosing a particular lifestyle to walk in. The first example is a very popular verse that I want to show you right now that depicts this, which is found in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1. May I have that, please? It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." And then the rest of the verse says, "Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." But I want to focus our attention right now, our study, in how the word walk right now is being used. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, which speaks about a lifestyle. Someone who refrains himself from evil. From evil speaking, from evil doing, from around people that are basically up to no good, from people who do not love the Lord, who does not have the fear of God inside of them. And ultimately, the emphasis is that that man who fulfills the purpose in life strictly sticks to what God has created for him or her. This is what it's emphasizing. I am here to fulfill God's plan. I am here to fulfill God's purpose. May I please have Revelation chapter 4, verses 11. It speaks about this purpose for every single one of us. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and that includes you and I, and by your will they exist and were created. So now if I know that my life belongs to God, that the reason that I exist is to please God, it is to serve Him, the Bible says that you are blessed when you abstain from evil. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Another verse that I want to bring to your attention right now that speaks about a lifestyle is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14. And it says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Isn't that something? Right now, we're speaking about several things right now. For one, don't put yourself in that situation. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't associate. Don't mingle. Don't be caught in the mix. And then it says, do not walk in the way of evil. I want to talk about three examples of entering a wicked path. And I want to show you what that looks like as far as, all right, Pastor, what exactly do we refer to? I'm going to use biblical scriptures right now to back up this concept. The very first person that I want to bring to your attention right now that maybe you might be like, now it makes sense, is the man Lot, the nephew of Abraham. At the time, he was still Abram. Do you know what I'm referring to now when I bring up Lot? May I please have Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. Thank you. And the word of the Lord says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that is, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, of course. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Why am I bringing this verse into your attention right now? Right now, we're talking about entering the path of wickedness. Right now, you see a prime example of someone who is driven by greed, by someone who's driven by the lust of their eyes, by want. Lot completely disregarded the fact of the men who are right now living in this particular area where he's going. He completely disregarded that whatsoever. He says, I don't care about those men. I don't care about the people that inhabit that place. It does not matter to me. And this ultimately was Lot's downfall. All he was caring about is what he can see. Now you have Abram on the other hand, who just says, I trust in God. I believe in God. Whichever way I go, the Lord is going to be there with me. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
If I go this way, the Lord is going to be with me. If I go that way, the Lord is going to be there with me. Whichever way I go, I am still blessed. And my God will still be with me. But Lot took a different approach. Someone else that I want to bring to your attention right now is King Solomon. Someone who entered the wicked path. And ultimately that was his downfall. May I please have 1 Kings, and we're going to read a group of verses here. 1 Kings 11, verses 1 through 8. 1 Kings 11:1-8. And the word of the Lord says, "But King Solomon loved many foreign women." And that's the problem right here. "As well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nation of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after other gods.' Solomon clung to these in love, and he had 700 of these." Imagine. "He had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the city Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods." Wow. You see the importance right now for us to not enter the wicked path, for us not to put ourselves in that situation to begin with. You know, we might think of so many situations as far as, say, friendship is probably the first thing that comes to mind. Co-workers, affiliates, hanging out, all these things have an influence on us. Here, we're talking about marriage. We're talking about an alliance. 700 of them, plus 300 concubines, plus princes, several of them, and every single one of them had an influence on a person who's considered one of the wisest, if not the wisest, human being that ever walked this earth, a wisdom that God gave, yet he fell because of his association. And this is why Proverbs 4:14 says, "Do not enter the path of wickedness." Don't go there. The Lord says, "For surely they will turn your hearts away from me. Do not intermarry." And it also says, "And do not walk in the way of evil." The last example now I want to give you is Jehoshaphat, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 1. May I have that, please? "Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with a very, very, very bad guy. He goes by the name of Ahab. All because he was looking for more power, for more leeway, for more riches. He went and got himself mingled and mixed up with the wrong person." We all know who Ahab is, right? Who was Ahab's wife? Jezebel. We all know Jezebel, right? And now, just imagine how the Lord felt when he abandoned all of his morals, all of his convictions, because of what? Because of power? Because of alliance, because of trade, because of money. It wasn't worth it.
Let me show you an example right now, just down the street here now, moving on to chapter 21, from chapter 18 to chapter 21, verses 6. May I have that, please? And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of God as a result. See what happens? It doesn't necessarily have to come into fruition based upon marriage or a marriage alliance. It doesn't have to come to existence based upon something so deep. Now, because of a simple affiliation, this king Ahab had such an influence on someone who feared God that he abandoned his, we'll just call it in today's terminology, his Christian ways. He abandoned his Christian ways because of an affiliate, because of a compadre, because of a business partner. You see what happens here? And this is why the Lord says in Proverbs chapter 4, 14, do not enter in the path of wickedness, comma. And then it says, and do not walk in the way of evil. My opening verse spoke about Enoch and how he walked with God, and how he loved God, and he was God's friend. He had a relationship with him. But right now, I want to make sure that we all understand that the opposite can happen also. When we choose to walk with people who do not see what we see, do not have the faith that we have, we must guard our hearts. Because sometimes what happens is things like pride kicks in, hatred kicks in, bad habits. Let me show you right now Daniel chapter 4, verses 37, that says this. I want to pick up on a particular part here. It says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all of whose work are truth and his ways are just. And here's what I want to zero in. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Wow. At the time, this king, Nebuchadnezzar, was the single most powerful man on earth. He was conquering everybody. Whoever he wanted, whatever nation he wanted, whatever land he wanted was his. And he became very prideful. And the Lord set him straight. The Lord put him down for several years, to the point where he came to his senses. And the Lord humbled this man. And that's why he says, and those who walk in pride, capital He, right? Capital H, he is able to put down. There are several things that King Nebuchadnezzar learned from all of this. I'm just going to name just a few. He learned that he should honor God. It doesn't matter how powerful he was. It doesn't matter how strong, whatever, how rich he was. We must always, always, always honor the Lord. And that God is the King of heaven and also the King of earth. And all that God's works are truth, every single one of them. God's ways are just. God is able to bring down the prideful, to abase the prideful. That God is Lord of lords, and He is the Lord over kings. That God is a revealer of secrets, as in Daniel. That God sends angels to protect those who they put their trust in Him. When we walk with the Lord, when we trust in God, God protects us. God keeps us. And God can change a man's word just like that. And that's why we must always be on God's side. Never abandon His ways. May I please have Micah chapter 6, verses 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And here's where I want to focus. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? This is what the Lord wants for us. Not for us to be prideful like King Nebuchadnezzar was, the most powerful man. I know I'm nowhere close to that status at all. So I have even much less to be prideful of anything. But away from me, pride, regardless. When I use the terminology proud, I always try to follow it with holy pride. There are certain things that, you know, we could be proud of. We could be proud of our spaghetti sauce, you know. We could be proud of our pie crust. We could be proud of our garden, whatever the case might be. I might do a nice buff job, you know, on my pickup truck. Say, wow, that looks nice. You know, I could enjoy that. Praise God. You know, thank you, Lord, for helping me with that. But ultimately, when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to the things of God, the Word of God is saying, and what does the Lord require of you and I? But to do justly. And then he says, to love mercy. And then he closes out this verse by saying, and to walk humbly before the Lord our God. Before the Lord, your God. You know what happens when we are okay with the Lord? When we are walking with Him? When we are doing what we are supposed to do? When God is on our side? When He is protecting us? We feel like we can conquer almost anything, right? We feel the power of God. We have this joy, this peace. Let me show you right now an example that I find, that I found in Psalms 119, verses 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. There we go. That summarizes it best. We can walk in liberty. We can be ourselves. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to be in anxiety when we seek the precepts of God. Keeping God's laws brings liberty from bondage. It brings liberty from fear, from uncertainty, from anxiety, simply because we keep His laws. And we keep His precepts. May I have now verses 44 and 45, please, of Psalms 119 that backs up what I'm saying right now. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. You see how this works? And my final verse for this morning comes from John chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. Listen to the word of the Lord here. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We all know the translation, shall set you free, right? They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. You know, scores of similar descriptions are scattered throughout the Bible, ranging from the Old Testament all the way over to the New Testament. You see it all the time. Men of God, women of God who walked with God, who trusted God, who God delivered, who God was there for him, for them, for every situation. And they provide a composition picture of a wide variety of facets of godly people and also evil persons' manners of life. Now the question is, which way are you going to walk? Which way are you going to present yourself? Are you going to choose the way of evil? Or are you going to humbly walk before the Lord Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. This is what the Word of God is for us this morning. For us to diligently walk in His presence. For us to seek this bond. For us to always seek this connection, this unity with the Lord. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we exalt you. Thank you, Lord, for this unity. Thank you, Lord, for this communion that we can have with you through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that has been given, Lord, to us when we dedicated our lives to you. We bless your holy name, Lord. We exalt your holy name. I pray, Lord, that every single day that goes by, that, Lord, we can walk more and more and closer, Lord, to you. That we can always, Lord, draw closer to you, Lord, in every situation. May we always, Lord, remember who we are through you. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.